But it's a reminder as we celebrate harvest here today that our God is a providing God. He is good and he gives good things. So we're going to celebrate together this morning. The plan is that we're all going to stay in this room together. So it's a family all-age service. We're going to have some short talks. We're going to pray, read the Bible as well, which I'm going to start with now. So listen as I read some of the verses from Psalm 65. This is David speaking to God. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and you water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn. For you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and you level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks and the valleys are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing. By their very existence, they praise the Lord. Before we do, let's have a little think about harvest. Actually, we're going to think about three harvests this morning, which is exciting, isn't it? So the first harvest we're going to think about is the promised harvest. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest will never cease. That's Genesis 8, verse 22. Do you like promises? Yeah, well, it depends, doesn't it? It depends, let's steady on, who's making the promises. There's a big difference, isn't there, between the person on the door at McDonald's saying, see you again soon, and the dentist saying, see you again soon. Big difference, isn't there? But generally, yes, we do. Who's promising this? Children, sorry, I'm talking to you particularly first. Do you know who's making this promise in Genesis? God is. It's God saying, isn't it? And we love promises, but hang on, it depends what's being promised as well, doesn't it? So it depends what's promised. There's a big difference between being promised pizza and chips for tea and being promised to be sent to bed with no tea. It's different, isn't it? Different promises. What's being promised here, children? Can you see? What's God promising? It's food, isn't it? Harvest is food. He's promising, isn't he? Food. And the promise of food is a brilliant one. We are such very hungry people. We love eating, don't we? Do you know how much we ate last year as a nation? Down to the decimal, no. Roughly. Well, no one knows. No, fair enough. And I'm not going to be able to explain it to you probably either. Apparently, okay, the average person eats 1.8 kilograms of food per day. The average person, apparently. There's 365 days in a year. So, done the maths, 657 kilograms of food per person per year on average. It's quite a lot, isn't it? Now, there's roughly 70 million people in this country. Just keep it round figures. So, I've done the kilograms, tons conversion here. Altogether, we eat and ate last year about 46 million tons of food. Oh, that's humongous, isn't it? Between us as a country. If you want to visualize that, children, you're struggling. What does 46 million tons look like? Well, you know, down at Felixstowe, you get a massive cargo ships. Okay, so imagine one of those, and they're enormous, aren't they? Now imagine 184 of them. Oh, we're not talking about what's on the ship, we're not a ship as well. They weigh about 250,000 tons each. Okay, it's getting a bit silly. But you get the idea. We love food in this country, and we eat a lot, don't we? We love mixing the foods. We love the flavours of the foods. We like making main meals and mixing ingredients. We might make desserts and making cookies and cakes and all the rest of it. It's wonderful. Did you know, or do you know, what our favourite food was in England last year? Anyone want to have a guess? Children? What? Yeah. Oh, bread. Okay, yeah. Yes. Right, yeah. Rice. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm looking for a main dish. I'm being awkward. Now, you win, though. Bread's good, yeah. What about a meal, like a whole meal? McDonald's. Yes, go again. Fish and chips. Good try. That's coming in close at second. First, though, is curry. Oh, no. Good try, though. Pizza, no. KFC, no. Apples are very popular, but roast dinner. Yes, I'm glad you got it. Roast dinner. Bangers and mash. Good job. Roast dinner again. Roast dinner. Apparently still Britain's favourite food. The point is, how good is God, looking at that verse again, that he promises food forever. That's what that promise says. As long as the earth endures, there will be harvest. He's going to keep the food coming. And that is great, and that is certain, because when God says something, then we can be confident because he's God. So it is right that we praise and we thank God for his goodness and his promise of unending harvest to us. Forever food, and food for all as well, as long as we share it. I won't say too much on that now, but apparently we 3.6 million tons of food we waste every year as well, which is obviously very sad, isn't it? I mean, just to share. And we're sharing, so we've collected this food, and there's some more as well. We're sharing with families in need this food. And so thank you for your gifts. It's really wonderful to see this display. Children, is there anything you've seen here that you particularly like? Is there anything you... I mean, sorry, it's not for you, but anything that you've seen? Choco Snaps is shouting at me. Apples, yeah, apples. And if you like apples, other people will as well, won't they, probably? So this food is going to go to people who... Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. And as we open your word, give us humble hearts to hear and love what you say to us, we pray. Amen. So we're going to have a reading from the Bible. If you don't have one, there's many at the back, and you can go and get one, or you can put your hand in the air, and someone will bring one to you. They're coming down the middle. Do grab a Bible, and open to John. So John's Gospel, chapter 4. Thank you, Jared. Chapter 4 of John's Gospel. And we're going to see harvest number 2 now. So harvest 1, the promised harvest. God promises food forever. Harvest 2, John's Gospel. Sorry, that's page 1067. If you've got a church Bible, the Gospels are at the start of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts, if you get to Acts, you've gone too far. 1067. Harvest 2, now, is a different type of harvest. It is a... Put it on here. Weak thumb. Present harvest. And I wondered if there's a young person who'd like to come and read a few verses to us. There's a microphone here. It's going to be John 4, verse 31 we're reading from. Would anyone like to come and read? All age service. Thought I'd throw it out there. What if we haven't got any young people? How about some middly, or not so middly people? Anyone else like to come and read? Great. Come on up. Thank you very much, Mary. So... That should be set up fine for you, Mary. So Mary's going to read. Can you see in John's Gospel, chapter 4, big 4, little number 31? Mary, can you read verse 31 to 38? Is that okay? 31 to 38. Great, thank you.
Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labour.
Thank you very much. I'd love it if you were able to keep the Bibles open so you can see where this talk is coming from. And you notice in verse 31 how the disciples say to Jesus, eat something. Jesus, to eat something. They're trying to look after him. Busy man, sometimes too busy, you know, to eat sometimes. He was so busy. And Jesus replies, and isn't it an interesting reply? I have food you know nothing about. That's mysterious, isn't it? Is Jesus stashing some food away somewhere? He's got his little hidden backpack going on where he's got food. Has he got a secret supply of food? I remember when I was a lad, church camps every year, highlight of the year, absolutely brilliant. And the food was decent, but I would stash in my bag some food. And they were cakes, and some of you will understand this completely. I used to stash away Mr. Kipling's French fancies. Still my favourite cake, pretty much. They're just so nice. And they're just so nice when you eat under canvas and in secret as well. Kind of made it even better, didn't it? Is this what Jesus means? I have food you know nothing about. Does he have a secret food supply? Well, the answer is sort of. Not the type of food the disciples were thinking of, and we might first, because Jesus, of course, next says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, he's talking about his Father in heaven, and to do his work, finish his work. So the disciples say, Jesus, you need to eat. Let's order a takeaway, or something like that. Jesus says, then my food is what satisfies me, what nourishes me, is the work my Father has for me. So the plot thickens. What is this food? We still haven't got the answer, have we? His food is work, to work and do the will of the Father, which is interesting. It kind of maybe seems a bit odd, doesn't it? Unless he's a farmer, which he actually is a type of farmer. Come to that in a moment. But it's really odd because we work and then we eat, don't we? And then we eat so that we can work again. But he's saying my food is work. Children, what's one of the first things you ask for when you get home from school? Edith? A snack. Thank you. Yes, same in our house. It's a snack, isn't it? We go to school, we work hard, and then we say, please, can I have a snack? I need food. Well, Jesus says, my food is work. And yes, in a sense, he is a farmer. Look at verse 36. A crop for eternal life. And we'll just go down to verse 39, which was beyond the reading. But can you see in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him. Jesus' food is talking about people. He's talking about people. So verse 35, he says the fields are ready. They're ripe for harvest. He means people are ready. There are people ready to believe in me, ready to come to me. Verse 36 again, he says, even now, so it's present harvest, even now there is a harvest that is ready now, and he's talking about people. That's what he means. The food the disciples are thinking about is the eating kind, and we can hardly blame them. We also think about food a lot. The food on Jesus' mind is a harvest of people. Did you know we now live in a time that's really, really special? It doesn't feel it so much because we're so used to it. We've never lived not in this time that I'm about to explain. Because before Jesus came, people were desperate. Desperate for a time when all kinds of people would come to God. Not just Israel, all kinds of people would come. The doors thrown open to the world, the harvest. Jesus appears on the planet and he says with a wonderful loud voice, come to me. You burdened and weary and worn out with your sin, with this world, come to me, he says. This is the age we're in now. We're still in this come to Jesus age, this harvest age, this age where people can hear about Jesus, here we are this morning in church, and respond. And let me ask you, are you one of those people? Do you need to respond to Jesus? Maybe you did many years ago and not much happened in between. You need to come back to Jesus and hear him call you again, come to me. Maybe you need to respond for the very first time. You know your life is empty. You need the nourishment of salvation in your soul. He says to people, come to me. He says to his own people, so here he's talking to the disciples, go to them. Get out into the field, get gathering people. See, if we're Christians, and there's many Christians in here this morning, those who follow Jesus, our food needs to be the same as Jesus' food. Remember Jesus' food, the will and work of the Father. But isn't it true, think of the disciples, that our minds are so often just stuffed with all sorts of other things? Like the disciples, we think about food, actual food. Isn't it true that so easily and so often our priorities are kind of physical and material things? We seek the nourishment of just constant entertainment. We live maybe for holidays, for homes, for hobbies, all sorts of things, don't we? Jesus is saying, come on, there's a greater priority. The priority of gathering the people the Father has who are going to come to me. And again, we may think, well, it's easy to be quiet about Jesus in this world. There's so many voices that speak against him or will just laugh at us. Or, you know, use Jesus' name as a swear word. And perhaps you might think, you know, we just wait things out as Christians until the kind of final harvest. Maybe as Christians we'll just lay low, embarrass ourselves, make life comfortable for ourselves or uncomfortable. But Jesus says no, even now. Because not everything is as it seems. There is a crop, Jesus is saying. There are people who will respond, who will come to me, and they're ready. And they're not going to get any riper as we get older. Waiting, Christians, it doesn't mean it's going to get any easier. I don't think the world is going in that direction, so it seems. It's not that people are going to get any more ready either. It's not that we're going to have any more time and more energy if we wait until whatever. Verse 35, the last verse we'll look at, is a bit of a rebuke, actually. So he says, you have a saying, it's 4 months until harvest, but I tell you now. It's a bit like us perhaps saying today, Jesus has come, isn't that great? This world so desperately needs Jesus. I'm so pleased Jesus has come. But actually, I can't get stuck in now. 4 months' time, then I will, or something like that. At some point when life calms down, it's just too crazy. Or as a church, when we've done this and that, then, you know, I'll get stuck in. This is a helpful reminder. Priorities. Jesus says the harvest is now, the priority is now. And verse 38, I mean, the hard work has been done. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, Jesus says. Sense is, actually, all we've got to do is go get it, then. God works in the soil of people's hearts. None of us here can change someone's heart. That's a work of God by the Spirit alone. But what we can do and what we should do is go to people and, have you heard about Jesus? Did you know there's a Saviour? That's the call, isn't it? The problem isn't that the harvest isn't ready. The problem is, or the question is, are the workers willing to go? It's not the crop, it's the collectors, isn't it? Once again, let's take a moment's quiet. You may wish to confess to the Lord your life before Him. Don't wait till tomorrow, do it today. You may wish to confess to the Lord your lack of availability, your life of full of distractions, full of other priorities other than Him first. Let's be quiet for a moment. God, You are a good God. And Lord, we need to grasp that in our lives. Far from trying to spoil our fun, make life boring, You are a God who pours out blessing on Your people, who knows exactly how we ought to live, and it's Your way. Lord, help us to grasp this truth and help our lives to line up with Your priorities for us. We praise You. There are people who will come to Jesus. Lord, we want to be part of that. So help us to know what we can do. Make us prayerful. Make us bold and gentle and loving in our words to share the good news with people, we pray. Amen. Well, last little talk. Last of the three harvests. Harvest one, God promises food forever. Harvest two, the harvest is now. It's people. Third, final harvest, which again, so this is not about actual food. The harvest picture is used to help us understand things. It's a wonderfully clear picture. And the thing to understand is in Matthew 13. So again, if you take your Bibles, it'd be great if you could turn to Matthew 13. If you're still at John, just turn back a couple of Gospels. It's the first one of the New Testament, page 978. Actually, 979. Page 979 in the church Bibles. And again, Jesus is talking. And when Jesus talks, we should listen and hang on His every word and think on it and follow what He says. Again, put a shout out, young people. Is there anyone who'd like to come and read a few verses while you're thinking about that? It's going to be Matthew 13. Come on up, Katie. Well done. I mean, thank you. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. So, Katie, have you got a church Bible? You've used this one? Yeah? So, Matthew 13, 24 to 30. In your church Bibles, you have to go over here, Katie. I'm afraid you want to go around there as well because it is. It's a cereal. So, that John there. Yeah, thanks.
The parable of ways. The parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'"
Thank you very much. Thank you, Katie. Okay, again, it'd be wonderful if you kept it open. So can you see the picture? This is a parable, one of Jesus' parables. The picture, a man sowing wheat seeds. But at night time, and that's loaded with meaning, another comes and sows weeds amongst the wheat. What happens? Both then grow together, wheat and weed. The servants come to the man, who we'll call Master, and they say, "Oh, where did these weeds come from?" And the answer is, an enemy. It's an enemy. And a servant then said, well, should we pull the weeds up? And the master, of course, says, no, leave everything. Leave the lot. We don't want to damage any wheat. Let them grow together. And then at harvest time, we'll separate them. Jesus is telling a story about believers and non-believers being together in this world now, and he's telling us that one day there will be a final harvest and a separation, a great separation of believers from non-believers. Now, at harvest time, a lot of separating happens. We're going to have a little think about separating harvest now. It's to do with God's purity, holiness, and justice as judge of all the earth. God is judge of all the universe, and he is going to call into account at some point all people for how they have lived according to his commands. Not according to our ones, our little box ticking, nice to my neighbour, well, that's one of his though, isn't it? But it's his commands. He's the judge and he's going to call us into account. God is good and he's patient, but, and we're in days of grace now, the present harvest, but he says, and Jesus tells more stories about this, parables, than anything else. He talks more than anything else in the Bible about this separation, so it must be super important, and it is. The point is, God is not going to allow evil to continue forever. A time is coming, he will judge every single one of us. But then you might think, well, why is there a separation? Because if every single one of us is judged, well, every single one of us is in trouble. Absolutely true, isn't it? We are all weeds. We've all broken all of his commandments in many different ways. I've never murdered anyone. Jesus says, you've been angry towards someone. Well, that's the beginning of the path to murder. That's that category. That's that family. I don't commit adultery. I wouldn't do that. Will you lust after someone? Same family. It's like, blows your mind. God's commands are so pure and perfect. And there will be a separation. But how will there be a separation when we've all broken the commands? But the answer is, the separation is of those who have by his grace sought his forgiveness through Jesus Christ and have been forgiven their sins. That's the wheat. And those who haven't. And that's the weeds in the story. It's strong, isn't it? How can we be ready for this final harvest? And we need to be. Everything so far in the Bible has happened as God said it would. Why will this not happen as well? The answer is, I firmly believe it will. And I think you need to as well. How can we be ready? Well, you need to be a wheat and not a weed. And I sort of knew my big brother was right when he told me, younger, stop being a weed. He was right. In the parable, the wheat belongs to who? It's the man, the master, isn't it? The weeds sown by the enemy, weren't they? We need, and you need, and I need to belong to God. How can we be children of God and belong to him? And the answer is, of course, through the one telling the story. It's Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can turn us from weeds to wheat and bring us to God, forgiven for our sin. So for you and I to be on the right side of this separation and the final harvest, what needs to happen? You need, and you must do this, to confess your sin, confess your commandment-breaking life before Almighty God. And you need to get on your knees before the cross where Jesus paid for all our commandment breaking for all those who will come and repent and seek forgiveness. Three harvests. Today's harvest. Go home after we've had some decent snacks today, actually. They're always decent, sorry. But being harvest, they're a bit more. Not the only reason, but And then we'll go home and have lunch. Okay, so the promised harvest. We go and have lunch. We're going to eat food. I hope you're having lunch today. God is good. He gives us food. Second harvest. Now it's harvest. So Jesus says, look, Ipswich is full of people. Full of people who will respond. We need boldness and confidence and love, don't we? To go and tell people about Jesus. Third harvest. Be ready for the final harvest. Come to Jesus Christ today. Let's be quiet for a moment and then we're going to sing a closing hymn together. Father, we find it hard when you say difficult things into our lives because we want to live as we want to live. We want to set the agenda. We want to call the shots. But God, we pray for humble hearts to come under your words, under your thinking, your wisdom and knowledge and not ours. So please speak into our lives that this is really important. That we really ought to be immensely grateful for your goodness to us in provision. That we ought to be busy, our priorities lined up with yours. That the lost may come into the kingdom. And that we ought to be ready for that day of separation. So we pray that you would keep these truths in our minds and hearts. Lord, don't let us be settled and at peace until we are at peace with you. Let there be a restlessness in us until we have come to the cross. And as we emerge from the cross to serve you, we pray for energy and zeal and love for the lost. So we thank you, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Amen.